Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Arsenal take care of business against Chelsea and keep their Europa League hopes alive. Atletico Madrid beat Real Sociedad. This is also our Thursday preview, of course, as Manchester United host Liverpool. We got games in La Liga as Real Madrid visit Granada, DFB Pokal, and so much more. Jimmy Conrad with me. Que Golazo begins right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Que Golazo. Jimmy Conrad with his new haircut. How are you, man?
I'm feeling as guapo as ever, Luis. Very excited to be here as always. So much to talk about. And as we get closer to the end of the season, a lot of drama is starting to happen in a lot of different leagues around Europe. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Listen, everybody, we do this show every single weekday, and it just makes it easier when I have Jimmy here, because me and Jimmy, we know each other's flow. We're like Mobb Deep or Gangstar. We know how we're feeling. So it's so much easier for me to just ask him questions and just sit back.
Go. I'm like a little wind-up doll. You just wrap me up in the back. Just go. And you just tell me, I need you to talk for 5 minutes straight.
Got it. Love it. But anyway, welcome, everybody. We begin in the Premier League, and Arsenal, in a very George Graham way, back in the day, Arsenal, a 1-0 victory against Chelsea, a rotated Chelsea, but you know, somewhat negative performance from Arsenal, but fans of Arsenal won't care a damn bit. They win 1-0, 3 points, and they hold their hopes of Europa League for next season is still alive. Jimmy Conrad, what are your thoughts?
Why would you? They're giving them hope. That's the last thing that Arsenal fans need at this point. They always have these really high expectations for what their club should be able to achieve, maybe not always looking realistically at what they have in front of them. And now you're giving them this false hope. I'm sorry. But obviously, a good performance from them. This was not a result that I think any of us saw coming. I thought at the very least, maybe they could muster a draw, but I did not see them getting a win. And if Jorginho wasn't out there, maybe they would have gotten that draw from Chelsea perspective. Jorginho, a nice job of putting it on the wrong side of Kepa. Rule of thumb for everybody, when you're playing it back to your goalkeeper, you never play it into the middle of the goal just in case they actually went out wide to support the play. And that's exactly what happened. Kepa made a hell of a save on the goal line, by the
way.
But Aubameyang, good composure. Smith Rowe, you know, way to follow up the play. Good, solid goal. Way to take advantage, right? If you're a good team, you take advantage of mistakes by the other team, and that's what good teams do. So fair play to Arsenal for doing that and for being stout defensively, making it hard. And this was the big thing that we thought about. Let's talk about it in a bigger picture type of way, either for the FA Cup final this weekend for Leicester City, Chelsea, or for the Champions League final between Man City and Chelsea. If you scored first against Chelsea, which hasn't happened very often for other teams, they've only been down a total of 40 minutes outside of the West Brom game. Of the other 24 games, Tuchel's in charge of 40 total minutes. They've been down a goal. This time they were now down a goal for 75 minutes. And it was a good exercise, I think, for both Leicester and City to take notes and see how much Chelsea struggle a bit when they're behind, because now they have to get out of that shell, that defensive shell. And when you don't score first, it makes it a lot easier for them to do what they want to do. So lots to take away from on this, but yeah, fair play to Arsenal for getting a result.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, the statistics don't lie. Chelsea nearly 70% of possession, almost 20 shots. They obviously control the whole game. They hit the crossbar twice. Giroud as well. Pulisic got a goal called offside. There was just a lot going on, but it doesn't matter. 3 points. And to your point, it means a lot more for, you know, because obviously the Champions League, they still have a cushion. Chelsea in the Champions League, of course, over West Ham, and they still have to focus for the final. They have to focus for the FA Cup and stuff. And I'm sure, you know, it's not going to be too alarming in terms of, you know, Champions League qualification for next season. But for Arsenal, I know I was just giving them maybe blind hope, but but they needed to win this. They needed to win this for so many reasons, I think, regardless of, you know, how late in the season it is. But I'll ask you this because it's a question from, because we're answering questions today, everybody. So I'll ask you this, asked by our friend Brian. Brian B, thanks so much for listening, Brian.
Hi, Brian B.
Hi, Brian B. He asks, did that win just save Arteta's job, Jimmy?
Wow. I think it will help if they finish strong. I think Arteta was safe regardless. That said, if they had continued a trend of, I'll say negativity, that feels harsh, but a trend of not playing to their potential, because it's clear we can see the potential. I was very happy to see that Aubameyang was starting and that you had Smith Rowe, you had Odegaard and Saka as that really young, attacking minded, you know, just boisterous, creative three right behind Aubameyang. And I like that sitting in front of, well, it was Elneny today because Xhaka's hurt and Partey. And then you got Tierney bombing on one side, and today it was holding, but sometimes it's Bellerin. I don't know if he'll be with the team next season. I kind of like their lineup today. When I looked at it, I'm like, that's probably the best lineup. If I was going to pick, that would be the 11 guys I would go with. And they won. They beat Chelsea 1-0. So if they can continue that feeling, that vibe, and win out, hopefully, these last three games, or they have three, they got two games left, and finish strong, I think that's a good sign of continuing to give Arsenal fans false hope.
Brian, I'll just say this. I don't think Arteta's job was ever in jeopardy, no, to be honest with you. But I do think that it makes it a little less stressful. I think Arsenal have a task list way bigger than Arteta himself, to be perfectly honest. And they're going to try and correct that during the summer. So I don't think Arteta's job was ever in jeopardy. I do think that it becomes a little easier with this win. However, the season's not over, and we'll have to see how they end up at the end of the campaign. But regardless, Arteta will be Arsenal's manager for next season, is my humble opinion. All right, listen, let's ask a question. I want to answer another question because we're still in the Premier League mode here, Jimmy Conrad. Mm-hmm. Our friend Ant FC. All right,
what's
Ant
up,
FC.
What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant. So Ant asks, and this is something I brought up actually to you, Jimmy, and I think we talked about it for like a nanosecond, but it's probably worth bringing up again. Why isn't Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, this is what Ant's saying, why isn't Ole Gunnar Solskjaer getting more love for manager of the year? Not saying he should win, but his name never gets brought up, and he improved the team so much from last year without a big investment in the past off season.
That's a good question. I mean, looking at the table now, they only have 5 losses this season, and that's tied with Man City for the least amount of losses. They are tied with Arsenal of all teams for the second best defense in the league. They're 12 goals behind Man City, who have the best defense in the league. I'm sorry, third best defense in the league, Chelsea second. And they have done a lot of good things. They have the best or the second best goal difference, plus 30. They've done a lot of things well. I don't know. I don't know if he has. It's like people, there are certain players and people that they have to prove themselves for a season first or a couple seasons before they start to get that recognition that they deserve. Some players get that right away. They come in and that splash is immediate. And then they're chasing that high of being that player the rest of their careers because they can never match it. I feel like Ole Gunnar falls into the former camp where people are still like, yeah, but there's always a yeah, but with Ole Gunnar. And we gave him a hard time too, right? I mean, throughout this whole season, we had a lot of yeah, buts. Yeah, they won, but they're probably going to lose the next one, you know? And that's kind of how it was. He didn't really find that consistency. And I think he has quietly put together a season he should be proud of. Now, if they can get that cherry on top and win the Europa League final, I know that doesn't play into being manager of the year for the Premier League purposes, but I think it would help bring a little bit more of that credibility and respectability that maybe, let's say, some of the voters would be looking for before they nominated him. And to be honest, as much as Ole Gunnar should be considered in some ways in the conversation, I just feel like Brendan Rodgers has done more with less at Leicester. I think David Moyes should be in the conversation with what he's done with West Ham. And of course, if you're the champions, then Pep Guardiola should probably be in that conversation too. And Marcelo Bielsa, I mean, getting promoted and basically bringing most of his championship team up and not really making too many more additions and getting in the top half of the league should be something that should be warranted for some consideration as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to add too much to that. I think your last point is really where I was going, to be honest with you. And I did bring up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a few episodes ago, if you listened, that he probably deserves a mention. I don't think he should win it. Of course, Ant, you are correct. This campaign, he's done a lot with not really getting that much in, but they are still Manchester United. And they did bring a lot of people. And Bruno Fernandes coming in mid-season absolutely transformed this club. completely, I think, or at least they became the catapult for everything that was to come. But to your point, Jimmy, David Moyes, Brendan Rodgers, Pep Guardiola, of course, who just won the league, Marcelo Bielsa. I mean, there's an argument for many. He deserves a mention for sure, but I think we have to just wait a little bit. Europa League final, you win it. Fantastic. To your point, it doesn't add up to the Premier League. I think getting second is commendable. I think doing very well. You deserve a mention, definitely. But there are other managers, to your point, that have done way more with a squad that really have, you know, Leicester City, from an economical financial standpoint, has no right being in the Champions League spot. They just don't. And look what they, well, look what he's doing. Look what Brendan Rodgers is doing. Beating, by the way, Manchester United just recently, albeit a rotated squad. So the good manager, Solskjaer, I don't think he's manager of the year, but he's building something back again with United, and it's good to see.
Yeah, two more things I would add. One is that's the hype around Thomas Tuchel right now, right? Yep. I mean, people are throwing him into the into consideration. Look what he's done to transform Chelsea and really take a talented bunch of players and give them direction and a purpose and a style of play and a philosophy.
He's so hot right now.
He's so hot. And so I feel like Ole Gunnar gets lost in that part of the conversation as well, because it's so Tuchel. And then if Man United had just been maybe clipping the heels and pushing City all the way to the end, then I think we'd be talking about Ole Gunnar a lot more. And we're just not. I think it's just kind of unlucky timing wise. And he's just not as, I don't know. It's the way, he's not like a Mourinho brash where he's going to make it all about him. He seems really unassuming in a lot of different ways. And not to say that Pep and Tuchel do that, but it's hard because their tactics are so kind of in your face. You have to ask them questions and their personality.
He manages the way that he played.
He did. He really is unassuming. I think that probably works against him.
Yeah, but he is a tremendous manager. And I think he's done tremendous things for United as they will continue to build. So, you know, he doesn't really deserve to mention, but not a winner for sure. All right. So that was the Premier League. Let's keep moving here. Let's go to Serie A for a second, Jimmy.
Crazy.
Juventus take care of business against Sassuolo. Cristiano Ronaldo, he scored 100 goals in every league he has played, including as well with Portugal. And now he's done it with Juventus, you know, as they help, as he helps Bianconeri win against Sassuolo, which is an amazing achievement in itself.
What I mean, that's he's the first player to ever score 100 club goals in three different leagues. And I'm surprised, but not surprised because of the way he approaches the game and how well he takes care of himself. Another fun stat that I have for you guys is that when he joined Juve, he had obviously 0 goals for Juve. Paulo Dybala had 68 total goals for Juve. Today, they both scored their 100th goal for Juve.
It's kind of insane.
That's insane. So, Cristiano Ronaldo, different breed, man. And fair play to him. That was a must-win game. And I do want to give a shout-out to Gigi Buffon, who started this one. He saved the penalty before Rabiot scored. So,
who will leave at the end of the season.
He announced he's going to be done or retire. I don't know what he's planning on doing. He can do whatever he wants. He's Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, he can do anything.
But he saved the penalty, and that just speaks to how that changed the game and the fortunes. And we'll see. If they end up getting in the top four, that penalty save will be so important to kind of being a catalyst to them getting past the Sassuolo, who were the hottest team over the last 6 games in Serie A. There's no other team that did better than them over like those 18 of available points. They got 16 out of 18 in the last 6.
And, so, you know, they play some great stuff, Sassuolo, as well.
They do. And they're pushing for a Conference League position, you know. So there's a lot going on with Sassuolo and Juve. And that penalty save changed the tide of the game. So fair play to Buffon and for Juve to finishing that off. And Cristiano scored a great goal. And that puts them in the conversation. Though Atalanta won. So Atalanta currently in second behind Inter on 75 points. Milan won 7-0. They put a touchdown up on Torino.
7-0, everybody.
Rebic had a hat trick.
Hey, so Jimmy, they did Aston Villa. They scored 7 goals.
They're the one of only 2 teams to score 7 at home this season.
I think in Europe,
I think that's right. Milan, so are on 75 points. And then Napoli are on 73 points. And then Juve's on 72.
Lazio, in 5th place, by the way, everybody. In 5th.
5th place. And then in 6th, Lazio scored a 95th minute winner. To beat Parma 1-0, they're on 68 points with 2 games left to go. So they could theoretically, they're not mathematically out of the top 4, but they could still catch Juve for 5th Oh my God, Serie A's popping off.
And by the way, Juventus's next game, Inter Milan at home. I know they've won Scudetto, but Inter Milan is not going to want to do Juventus any favors, especially Antonio Conte, of course. And Milan plays Cagliari, which is a little bit more doable, and Atalanta visit Genoa. So, you know, plenty to play for.
Plenty to play for. And then also Atalanta play AC Milan the last day of the season. So they're going to drop points.
Baby.
Then and then Napoli plays Fiorentina away, and then they play Verona at home. And Napoli's the one I think they're going to have to really think about catching. But wow, it's unbelievable. I mean, we talk about this because we complain for how many years? Oh, Serie A is boring. This Serie A season is ridiculous. Liga is boring. Same team wins it. This Liga season is ridiculous. La Liga, same two teams. Atletico, what? It's all popping off right now. It's ridiculous, and I'm here for it. And why isn't the Bundesliga catching up? What are they doing over there?
I know.
I will say, though, outside of Bayern Munich, the top four race is very similar to Serie A. There's a lot of teams that could get in there.
No, absolutely right. And by the way, Serie A is going to be with CBS Sports next season. And you think it's exciting? We're adding Jose Mourinho to that now.
Unbelievable.
All right. Listen, everybody. We are moving now to La Liga because Atletico Madrid just about gets it done. Win 2-1 against Real Sociedad. They were 2-0 up and Real Sociedad get a late goal. I mean, it was calamity all over as well. Atleti really had to fight for this. But at the end of the game, the players are hugging each other as if they have won the league. And to be perfectly honest, you can't blame them because it's that big to get, because destiny and the title is in their hands. They don't have to rely on anybody. And Atletico Madrid, after beating Real Sociedad, you know, is a major thing because now when you look at the table, they have 80 points with two games to play. Barcelona with 76, and we're going to be previewing Real Madrid in a second. They have that game in hand with 75 points on Wednesday, but it's massive, Jimmy. Atletico Madrid, you know, regardless of how it was done, they got the job done.
It's, God, they make it hard. So Atletico Madrid, the biggest thing that they needed to do was score early. They needed to get that off their back.
Set the tone,
Set the tone and then relax a little bit. And they scored, Yannick Carrasco scored a good goal. But
Marco Llorente, that ball, by the way, he is such a player, man. Like,
he is such a player. And I was nervous, and I think I've come on here before and talked about Atleti in the European competitions, that when they start Saúl and Koke in the middle of midfield, I just roll my eyes like, man, they are looking to play 0-0 this game when those two guys are in, because they have these other attacking players. They have Carrasco, they have Llorente, they have Correa, they have Joao Felix and Luis Suarez, but they never find room for those guys. It's always Saúl and Koke in the middle of midfield. And I feel like that kind of hinders them from going forward in a more meaningful way. But that said, they did the business today. They got two goals in the first 30 minutes. Correa ended up scoring the second, and then they held on for dear life. They're at home. They had 34% possession at home. They got outshot. Sociedad had more quarters, more shots on target. It's so Atleti, Diego Simeone to a T. I mean, imagine being at home in a must-win game and you're letting the other team dictate the terms. It's really funny to me. But you know what? That's the Diego Simeone way, and they got the result. They needed to give up a late goal in the 83rd minute to Zubeldia, and they held on for dear life. It was squeaky bum time the rest of the game from there. But to your point, you know, it's in their hands. It is 1,000% in their hands. And I know that Real Madrid have a tough, they have to go away from home to play Granada. And I know we'll talk about that in a second, but man, it's getting intense. And then
The fact that it's in their hands is the major thing. And I guess we can add Harold's question here. Harold, a listener. Thank you so much, Harold. He asks if Atleti ends up winning, and they did, because he asked this question before the game was over. If Atleti ends up winning this game, do they seal La Liga, Jimmy?
Given that they have Valladolid in their last game, they have two more games left. They got Osasuna.
They have Osasuna, who have nothing to play for.
And
the relegation team in Valladolid.
I have a friend on Osasuna. He just scored this past weekend, Ante Budimir.
Boom.
So I'm always pulling for him because he played for Mallorca last season. And so Osasuna is in the middle of the table, and Real Valladolid is in the relegation zone. So you're right, because Huesca won today. They beat Athletic. I don't know how they did that, but they did, and that's a huge win for them. But yeah, so there's a lot to play for in a lot of different ways, and I think Atleti are going to do it. But it seems like nobody wants to win La Liga this season. So they're all, nah, you can do it. I know you can do it. You can do it. But we'll see. I think obviously knowing what happens with Real Madrid against Granada will really dictate what, you know, because Madrid's got a game in hand. They're 5 points back. If they don't win it, or if it's just a draw, God, that takes so much pressure off at the Atleti, and they can play a lot more free. But they got, again, I think what really helped them today was scoring first. And if they can do that again, because if the other team scores first, I think they're going to play real tight and get nervous.
I just think that Diego Simeone needs to be screaming this every single minute now. This title is in your hands, Atletico Madrid. We're not relying on anybody. So whatever you decide on the pitch, whatever pass you decide, whatever tackle you make, whatever call you call for, it's in your hands. That's it. And because that, I'm going to put my trust in Cholo Simeone and feel that they're going to do this because of that message. Mm-hmm. I mean, Simeone, he has to like punch that message every single minute in training, before a game. Like, that's it. They need to do that. And I feel that they're going to do it because Barcelona tying 3-0 with Levante was just, you know, a complete, you know,
gift. It was a gift.
Gift, absolutely. I know it's been like a hot potato league, like you said, nobody wants to win this, but this is it. Atletico Madrid, this is it. You can do this, especially because of the opposition that you have in your final games. I don't see any other way.
To your point about Diego Simeone, you have to walk in there, and I'm sure he did in some capacity. Do you have the courage to go out there and win? Do you have, you know, will you go out there and make the plays, or are you going to go out there and play nervous? I mean, I would rather go out there and play with as much confidence. And if things didn't go my way, it didn't go my way. But I would and lose than to be scared and hope that maybe things go my, you know, you just, that's why I was a little surprised that they conceded as much possession and chances as they did, because you could sense that now some teams don't play well when they have something to lose as opposed to everything to gain. And right now, and we saw that, right? They got that big 12-point lead at the top of La Liga. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, crap. Can we hold on to this for the rest of the season? And they couldn't. They couldn't maintain. And that makes sense to a certain degree. But just some of the results have been a little iffy. And performances.
You could say that.
Yeah, performances have been playing more like they had something to lose as opposed to everything to gain. And if they can somehow just regain that for 180 minutes, that's all. They can just figure it out and see this out for 180 minutes. They're going to be champions for the first time since 2013, 2014.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are ready to preview Wednesday's action, including, hey, guess what? Manchester United comes back to play again as they face Liverpool, the FB Pokal, and so much more. Stay right here. Que golazo. We'll be right back.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Que golazo, listeners, we've reached that point of the year where there's a lot of sports going on at once, which is why we wanted to tell you about the CBS Sports app and how it's not just the best scoring app for your phone, but it's also where you get breaking news, alerts, stories by us, standing schedules, team pages, and all the sportsy digital stuff you are used to. And of course, if a game is airing on CBS, that means it's streaming on the CBS Sports app. Easy, right? It's a fantastic app. Please check it out. CBS Sports app. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Que Golazo, our Wednesday preview. Jimmy Conrad in the house. Jimmy, Liverpool might not get Champions League next season. They can still maybe do something about it. It's not in their hands. They have to rely on other folks. But this game against Manchester United is a must win. Talk to me.
Yeah, welcome to Manchester United Week on the Que Golazo podcast, everybody. We talk about them a lot because we have to. They're playing every 2 days. We're going to see a lot of changes. I think the big, big news is that Harry Maguire is going to be out for this one. It looks like he might miss the Europa League final. And he might even miss the Euros.
Yeah, Euros is a doubt. Europa League is a major doubt. Definitely not against Liverpool.
That is not a good sign for Manchester United. When I look at this from a betting perspective, I'm already thinking, all right, both teams are scoring this because Harry Maguire gives you a better chance, at least. He's a lot more steady. I just think they're so comfortable with how he moves and how he leads, right? He's the captain of the team. So that's going to be a big loss. It'll be up to Bailly now to step up, or Twanzebe if they want to give him a chance next to Lindelof to make that happen. So very curious to see how that's going to look and who Ole Gunnar elects to start. But I think outside of that one, I think Bailly starts. Lindelof, you're going to see all the usual suspects that didn't play against Leicester playing against Liverpool. And people were trying to stoke the fire with Jurgen Klopp recently in a press conference about this game. And he's like, what do you want? He actually defended Ole Gunnar. What do you want him to do? You know, he's got 4 games in 7 days. It's ridiculous. Of course, I would do the same exact thing as him. So I really appreciate Jurgen Klopp for not taking that bait.
He did do the same thing. He exactly. Put out the under 23s against...
That's right. Against Villa, right?
Way back. Sorry. We put the under 23s against Villa. I mean, 2 seasons ago is what happened. That's right. It's completely understandable. Absolutely. Carry on.
No. So I just appreciate Jurgen Klopp amongst a lot of the managers these days who I think are getting better at this and kind of being a little bit more fun, but just are so sensible in their answers and not taking this debate. So I really appreciated that. And because he could have easily doubled down and like added right to the rivalry and all this crap, but I thought that was a cool take by him and a lot of respect.
I like that. I think he was asked also, do you think that Phillips and Williams can handle the game against Manchester United? And Klopp was like, yeah. And that was it. It was like, well, what's he going to say? No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love those obvious questions. It's I don't know what people
think. Do you think you can win, Jurgen?
Yeah. But with regard to this game, obviously, both teams will have, you know, relatively rested players because Man United rested so many against Leicester. But I do think that loss of Maguire does impact the team.
It's huge also because he was playing every minute before that. It was. It's a big deal. Yeah.
So this is actually, I guess if you're going to have an ankle injury before a big final, you might as well, it's better to have it now. Or an injury of any kind so that, you know, the player that could replace you will have 3 or 4 games to kind of,
good point from a manager's perspective. Yeah.
From a manager's perspective, like a silver lining perspective from a team, there's nothing really riding on these games other than kind of ruining Liverpool's party. So, and I think this is going to be a good one. I don't know why I have 2-2 in my mind. I think Cavani.
Oh, you have a draw.
Mo Salah could score. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting how this game's going to go. I mean, you can talk me out of it for sure, but that was kind of my initial gut feeling.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. I haven't even thought about this game until we're talking about it. So now that you're mentioning a few things, especially obviously the Harry Maguire thing's a big deal. It's very difficult for me to think that Liverpool's going to lose this. I don't think they're going. I'm not saying they're going to win. So to your point about a draw, I just feel that it's so important for Liverpool to get something out of this that I think that it's going to be enough for them to at least get a point, whether they win or not. I don't know. As we keep talking, maybe that can help out a little bit. They literally, Jurgen Klopp's, you know, one of the things that I talked about Atletico Madrid was like Simeone needs to tell his team, listen, it's in your hands. Jurgen Klopp has to say the same message, but with a different sort of narrative. It's not in your hands, but you can still do something about it. So, you know, do the best that you can, get anything out of this game and play hard. My only issue is the same issue that's been going on all season for Liverpool, which is defensively, they do have this knack of maybe conceding a goal, especially against big teams. So that could happen. So your high scoring draw, actually, the more I talk about it, the more I believe it as well.
It's possible. I do think that Cavani's in great form. He's got 8 goals in his last 8 games, and 3 of those games he came off the bench as a sub. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he's getting like a ton of minutes. I mean, he's really making the most of his minutes right now.
Bruno Fernandes is relatively fresh.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, he only got 12 minutes against Leicester.
Which is great for him.
Yeah, so when I look at the last couple results, though, for Liverpool, you know, they haven't lost in quite some time. They seem to have kind of found their form. Arsenal did them an amazing favor today because
huge.
Chelsea are on 64 points, 36 games played. Liverpool played 34 and on 57 points. If Liverpool win those two that they have in hand, they're only 1 point behind Chelsea with 2 games to go. And as I mentioned,
which is my point about
exactly.
You need to take something out of it no matter what.
So I do think Liverpool is going to solidify and get in the Europa League at the very minimum. But this to get in the top four would be they need some help, of course. Because
then after this,
they're going to have to win out. They're going to have to win out.
Because then after this, they got West Brom and then they have Liverpool. I mean, Burnley. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, obviously take your foot off the pedal, but they're more doable matches, obviously. This to them is sure. Like, this is the final.
If we're climbing
a mountain, this is the hardest rock to climb. And after this, it becomes a little bit easier. So they need to go all out. I think Mohamed Salah is going to put on a show. I don't know why I think that.
No, you're right. When you pose it like that, it does make me want to lean towards Liverpool a little bit more. Statistically, from a betting perspective, there have been over 2.5 goals scored in 8 of Man United's last 9 home games in the Premier League. But Man United are undefeated in 9 of their last 10 home matches against Liverpool in all competitions.
But Liverpool haven't lost consecutive games against Man United in all competitions since a run of 4.
I know. Stupid stats like get you in circles, man, you know, because we could build
a narrative. But I do believe, though, that the one that you just said about United and at home is probably more important. Because it gives them more of a consistent basis, definitely recently. So I think the fact that they're at home will help them. This is hard. I like a high scoring draw. What is that?
A high scoring draw. If you say over 2.5 goals and both teams draw, that's +850, which is that's the highest one you can get. There's a couple that we have trouble predicting what we think the score is going to be. I try to find different exotic bets. Mo Salah to get over 1 shot on targets +120.
Oh, come on. Obviously. Yeah,
I know. There's some bets sometimes. You and I talk about it. We go on William Hill. I'm like, dude, they're printing money for us. I mean, this is like
one shot on target from Mohamed Salah when there's no Harry Maguire. Like
over 1 shot on target. So he's got to get 2 shots on target.
Okay. But I'm still giving the same reaction.
I get +120. I like Fabinho to get a yellow +230, you know, just trying to track Bruno Fernandes around.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people you can get for yellows, but I like the Fabinho one. I thought that was the best value +230. And then of course, anytime you're talking about Manchester United and Bruno Fernandes, you got to bring up penalties. If the penalty is called, it's +163. If a penalty is called and scored, it's +210.
From anybody?
Yes, anybody.
That can definitely happen.
I know it can happen, especially with young center backs for Liverpool, because we know it's going to be called in favor of Manchester United.
There's some good ones here. So every time we tell you the same thing, this is your money, everybody, but we're giving you some good
just tips. Just some here. Things to consider. If you want to, I mean, that the game's going to be good anyway, but if you want to add a little juice to it, you know, we're never going to say no to.
Absolutely. Give me your final score prediction.
You know what? I'll stay with a 2-2. The draw straight up, it's a coin flip, ultimately. Man United to win straight up is +185. The draw is +265. Liverpool to win is +135. Mm. So just betting one of those or putting in a parlay, if you're feeling that, is something to consider. What I really like, though, just for fun, I'll do both teams to score and the draw is +320.
That's pretty good.
But if you're feeling a little something, you want to take a swing, like Mo Salah to score, Liverpool to win, both teams to score, +450. I think both teams will score. So it's just a matter of how you want to package it. Because to your point, Liverpool has been a little leaky without Harry Maguire. I think I just don't see a clean sheet without that guy on the team. I think that Bailly and Lindelof are prone to make mistakes, and maybe as a partnership, maybe even more. I don't know. So I do think there'll be some opportunities for both teams. Just a matter of who can bury their chances.
So I'm always agreeing with you. I'm going to try and make it a little more. I'm going to say a Liverpool 2-1 win. It'll be 1-1 for a long time, and then Salah will get the winner.
All right. So Liverpool to win, both teams to score +275.
See, not bad. So, you know, do your thing, everybody. Let's see what you have. All right. Listen, very quickly, Aston Villa plays Everton as well. I mean, you know, one has still Europa League hopes. The other one, you know, just wants to be in that top half of the table, which I think that's commendable, to be honest with you. We escaped relegation by the skin of our teeth last season. The fact if we end up in the top half, I'll be very happy, boy. This is also, by the way, the game that Jack Grealish might come back. I don't think he will start. Dean Smith said in his press conference, are you asking me if I think he's good enough, he's fit enough to start? I'm saying no, but I think that he could be in the squad. So take that with what you will, but you know, the oldest fixture in the history of this top flight in England is playing once again. Villa against Everton.
These guys, they played like 10 days ago, 11 days ago.
and Villa won.
That's right.
So I think it'll
Ghazi be. Ghazi scored late, right?
He did. And I think it'll be a similar story. I think it'll be. No, I'm not saying. I don't know yet if Villa will win. I'm obviously hoping that that happens. But in terms of this fixture, it could be tied again, maybe even a draw. But I don't know yet.
So Everton's only defeat in the last six was at home to Villa. However, I just feel like they should be confident of picking up 3 points in midweek, given their form away from Goodison Park this season. Only Manchester City and Manchester United have picked up more points in away league matches than Everton in the Premier League this season.
There's no Ollie Watkins too, by the way. He's suspended.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, that's a big deal. By the way, I bet on Bertrand Traore to score, Jimmy. What is that?
I'll find that for you.
Bertrand Traore.
Listen to this. Maybe to score first, because Aston Villa have taken the lead in each of their last five matches.
Yeah.
Including the games against Liverpool, Man City, and Manchester United, but only won once.
Interesting. So
that is interesting.
Keenan Davis will probably start up front. He's more of a hold-up guy, and I think the wingers will come in more centrally. Bertrand Traore is perfectly fit to maybe get something here, just like he opened the score against Liverpool. What do you have there?
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm looking at it's another coin flip. So Bertrand Traore to score. It's plus 275 anytime.
It's not bad. To score anytime, that's great.
That's great. That's good value for there. I would say, and you know that team a lot more intimately than probably the rest of us, me sitting here and everybody listening. To score first, that's a great stat that they scored first in five consecutive games, including some big, big dogs.
Yeah, we go out guns blazing, and then we invite teams in sometimes. So
I'm kind of looking at El Ghazi to score first, plus 500.
That's also a very good possibility.
Plus 500 to score first.
Either winger are our most potent scoring threats, because Watkins is out, and now you have to rely mainly on the width.
Traore to score first is plus 800.
I mean, you know.
Okay, how about this, though? To come from behind and draw for Everton, since Aston Villa does like to score first, plus 550.
These are all very good.
Or if you want, come from behind and win or draw, plus 400. Yeah, I'd look at that one a lot.
These are all very good. So again, you have plenty.
That's for Everton, though.
Yeah, I know. You have plenty to take from everybody. All right, let's move on, because we still have a few more games to talk about. What do you want to go? The DFB Pokal, or do you want to talk?
Yeah. Let's do a little DFB Pokal final. RB Leipzig versus Borussia Dortmund. This is a big trophy for either team. Edin Terzic, the interim, who's going to then hand the reins over to Marco Rose from Borussia Mönchengladbach. Or Julian Nagelsmann before he leaves and takes over Bayern Munich and takes Upamecano with him. So, yeah, there's a lot here. And I think there's a lot to play for. I thought Jadon Sancho was very good in the past week. He scored a couple goals. Gio Reyna's back on the team. Erling Haaland started training this week. He'd missed against RB Leipzig. They just played this weekend. But Jadon Sancho scored a couple. When they played him earlier this season, Erling Haaland had a brace. They just kind of have RB Leipzig's number, to be honest. And with a healthy Jadon Sancho and an Erling Haaland with a trophy on the line, Gio Reyna starting to find his form, Marco Reus staying healthy, Bellingham, who we enjoy, was out because of a red card over the weekend. He's back in the team. He covers so much ground. What a top young player. Really, it's going to come down to, when we kind of say this, but in this particular game, Akanji and Hummels, the center backs, and Emre Can, who sits in front of the back four, they're not the fastest guys. And so if RB Leipzig can somehow take advantage of that and pull them out of position, the recovery speed is not good. And Guerrero on the left side for Borussia Dortmund likes to bomb forward, and that, I feel like, isolates Hummels a lot in 1v1 situations. And also, Bellingham's got to be over there to cover as well. But Berkey, Gulacsi in goal for RB Leipzig, Berkey for Dortmund, one of those guys, whoever's going to stand on their head and make those saves, probably the one that ends up seeing it through. I like because Erling Haaland's had some time off, and I know he's nursing an injury, but just having that rest overall, I like him to show up in spades. I think it's important for him and his legacy, and I'm sure he's already thinking about his legacy, to win trophies. And not to say that the other players aren't. I'm not taking anything away from all the other players who want the same thing. But Erling Haaland just has that juice where he can turn a game ball by himself. So I like him to score, Dortmund to win, and both teams to score plus 450.
Ooh.
But I also like Dortmund, just to leave the goal scores out of it, Dortmund to win, both teams to score. I could see like a 2-1 here. The last time they played was a 3-2 this weekend, and 3-1 earlier. So they've scored against each other. There's a lot of goals.
There will definitely be a lot of goals in this.
So that's kind of what I'm looking at with regard to that. But I can look at some value for you. I just didn't know what you wanted.
No, I like that. I actually want to keep moving because that's pretty good. Okay. But we want to keep feeding the Que Golazo animal. So let's talk Real Madrid for a second.
Let's do it.
Real Madrid have a game on Wednesday. What do you have for me?
Well, it's Granada. So as we know, Granada were the darlings, the Cinderella of the Europa League.
Away at Granada, right. Yeah.
They qualified for the Europa League for the first time in their history, 2 seasons after they were in the second division in Spain, which is ridiculous. So Diego Martinez deserves a lot of credit and respect. And we'll see if he makes a jump to a bigger club at some point. Granada also beat Barcelona recently, which really kind of Barcelona had it in their hands and they blew it and started with Granada. They should have won that game. They had a ton of, and Barcelona should have won this weekend too. So they're pretty good at that. This one in particular, Granada are missing a lot of players and arguably so are Real Madrid. It's tough. Granada have lost 3 out of the last 4, which is a shame because they're in danger of kind of having this magical season kind of not feel great at the end. And they failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 11 games. Madrid, on the other hand, are unbeaten in their last 14 or 15 La Liga games. They continue to figure out ways to win. That's very kind of the Madrid way, especially the recent times. But they've only won 1 of their last 5 in all competitions. And they need these 3 points to keep them in the title equation. And I think they will because that's what Madrid does.
Because Jimmy, sorry to interrupt, but if Real Madrid lose or draw, we could have a new champion in La Liga on Sunday.
Yes, that's correct.
So they definitely need to win to keep it going. All right, so what do you have?
So Real Madrid, are undefeated in their last 15. I didn't know if it was 14 or 15. It's 15. They've won their last 11 matches against Granada in all competitions. So they just maybe this is the team that they feel comfortable against. And we'll see which version of Granada show up. Maybe they'll have a Levante-type performance where they're really tough. And even though if they're up 2-0, can come back. I like Madrid to do it. It's tough. I'm just trying to decide whether it's going to be tight because Madrid has been pretty good defensively this season. I don't think they get enough credit for that, especially because of all the injuries that they've had. But they've been pretty good on the defensive side of the ball.
No Mendy anymore.
That's true. No Mendy and still dealing with some other injuries. It just depends. I'm kind of leaning towards either a 2-1 Madrid or a 1-0. I wanted to get your thoughts first.
I was going 2-1 because Granada is a very good team that likes to, very well managed tactically, that they can maybe get something out of it, a goal perhaps, but Real Madrid will probably go even with a 2-0 lead and then just probably slow down in the latter stages, but still get that victory. Karim Benzema will probably show up big one more time.
Yeah, so let me look at the Karim Benzema stuff. I was just trying to decide, do I go over 2.5 goals or do I look at both teams to score? Benzema to score anytime, minus 162.
Yeah, so don't worry about Benzema.
But Benzema to score first, plus 210.
Okay,
that's
better.
Something there to look at. I think, let me look at the over 2.5 goals so everybody knows. Real Madrid to win and over 2.5 goals is plus 101, which isn't great. I mean, it's better than negative, but you bet 100 to win 101. Not that much fun. Real Madrid to win an under 2.5 goals. So you got 1-0 and 2-0. That's plus 280. The draw at under 2.5 is the third favorite, plus 460. They don't have Granada winning at all. Plus 1,000, plus 1,100 for them to do anything. It's tough. I let me see really quick on just the clean sheet stuff. Because to keep a clean sheet, Madrid is plus 105. Granada is plus 600. If you want Benzema to score, Real Madrid to win, both teams to score plus 300. But I actually don't mind this match result, both teams to score. So Madrid to win, both teams to score plus 195. It's tough. This is a tough one for me.
Yeah, no, it's tough. But I think your point about Real Madrid doing well defensively, undefeated against this team for a while, undefeated overall, 2-1, I think. And I don't think they want to lose or draw and then hand the title to Atleti as easy as that.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Real Madrid actually have the best defense in the league. No, I'm sorry. Atleti have 23 against. Sorry, I saw that right. 23 goals against. Madrid, though, Real Madrid are 26 goals against. So as much as we like, Diego Simeone, defensive god. I mean, Madrid's right behind him. They're not too far off. That's pretty impressive, actually. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Madrid to win to nil. It's plus 130. So like all they do is win to like 1-0, 2-0, doesn't matter. Plus 130. That's probably what I'd lean on. Not the most exciting bet of all time, but that one feels the safest.
I like that. And that was our Thursday preview. Jimmy Conrad, before we say goodbye, final thoughts.
I can't wait for tomorrow. Oh, man. We got big games this weekend. The weekend preview is going to be popping off. I'm here for it, and I'm glad I'm doing it with you, Luis Miguel.
Absolutely. And don't forget, by the way, we have our weekend preview coming out at the end of the week as well.
Right? What day before is this? Is this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, when people hear it, when people hear this episode, it will be Thursday morning. Thursday morning. But when you hear this later on as well, Friday morning, we'll have our weekend preview for our entire weekend. We lose track of days here, everybody.
It feels like Christmas every day, Luis, because we have great games coming. Fast and furious.
Absolutely. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. Listen to us on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a 5-star rating and review. We're on Stitcher, YouTube, CBSSports.com, and so much more. Thank you once again, and have a great, great day.
Original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.